Okay, so you're in law school, right? And you're wading through, what, a zillion cases, trying to figure out what matters.
Mountains of reading, yeah. It can feel overwhelming.
Totally. But hey, today we might have a little shortcut for you.
Oh, a shortcut to legal wisdom. I'm all ears.
Right, we're going deep on a Texas case, European Import Co. v. Lone Star Co. It's about, like, $98,000 in unpaid invoices for liquor. Seems pretty straightforward.
Sounds simple enough. What's the catch?
The catch is this case, it's like a crash course in contract law, personal guarantees, even some procedural stuff that can really trip you up.
Ah, the hidden depths. Classic law school.
Exactly. So for anyone listening, think of this as a condensed masterclass. All those classes, you know, contracts, civil procedure, even business organizations, they all kind of come together in this one case.
Yeah, it shows you how the pieces fit in practice, not just in a textbook.
All right, let's set the scene. Who are the players here? Who sued who and why?
So we've got Lone Star Company, they're a liquor wholesaler. They're suing European Import Company, a retail liquor store.
Okay, classic supplier versus retailer. What's the beef?
Lone Star says European Import didn't pay up for deliveries like $98,000 worth.
Yeah, that's a lot of booze.
Yeah, and Lone Star, they didn't just sue the company, they also went after the president, Rosemarie Bagnoli, personally, because of a personal guarantee they claim she signed.
Personal guarantees. I was always add another layer of complexity. So what did European Import say in their defense?
Well, they basically said, hold on, we never even ordered all that stuff in the first place.
Whoa, really? That's bold.
Yeah, and they didn't stop there. They countersued Lone Star, claiming some violations of the Texas Liquor Control Act. And then Ms. Bagnoli, she really threw down the gauntlet.
How so?
She claimed she didn't just sign the guarantee unwillingly, she said she was pressured into it. Fraud and duress, serious accusations.
So this is shaping up to be a real legal drama. What happened at trial?
The jury sided mostly with Lone Star. They said European Import, yeah, you owe the money, and the personal guarantee. That's valid too.
So round one goes to Lone Star. But didn't you say there's more to the story? Something about attorney's fees.
There is. And this part, this is a real lesson in dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
All right, before we get to the attorney's fees twist, let's step back and look at the big picture. What were the core legal issues that the court had to sort out here?
Okay, so there were three big ones. First, can European Import be held to a contract, even if they say we never formally ordered anything?
Right, because they're saying they never actually placed those orders.
Exactly. Second, was Rosemarie Bagnoli actually bound by that personal guarantee, especially with those claims of fraud and duress?
Serious claims. And the third issue.
Why did Lone Star, even though they won the case, initially seem to get attorney's fees, but then had it reversed?
The attorney's fees, that's where things get tricky. But let's start with the first question. How can you be on the hook for stuff you say you never ordered?
This is where it gets really interesting. The court, they zeroed in on European Import's behavior, their actions. They kept saying, no, we didn't order anything.
Yeah.
But there's this pattern of deliveries happening over time. And here's the kicker. A lot of those invoices had a stamp on them, accepted by European Import Co.
Oh, that sounds incriminating.
Yeah, that stamp really came back to bite them. The court looked at the Texas Business and Commerce Code. It's basically Texas's version of the UCC.
The Uniform Commercial Code. Yeah, a lot of our listeners will be familiar with that.
Exactly. And the code says a contract doesn't always have to be some formal written document. It can be formed through what the parties do, their actions. They saw that European Import got those deliveries over and over, and employees were signing off on those invoices with the company stamp.
Yeah.
That looked a lot like they were accepting the goods.
So even if they didn't explicitly say, yes, we want this, their actions were basically saying, sure, bring it on.
Exactly. And this is a key point. Texas law, just like the UCC, often says that what you do matters more than what you say you meant to do.
So even if Mrs. Bagnoli said she didn't know about every single order, the fact that her company kept taking the deliveries and stamping those invoices, that carried more weight.
Precisely. Texas law in cases like this, it focuses on what a reasonable person would think based on what they see. Accepting deliveries, signing receipts, and not objecting right away, that all adds up to acceptance, even if Mrs. Bagnoli says she didn't personally okay each order. Huge takeaway here, especially for anyone advising businesses. Document everything, even seemingly routine deliveries.
That little accepted stamp, it seems insignificant, but it had huge consequences.
It did. Now, what about Ms. Bagnoli and that personal guarantee? Fraud and duress are not light accusations. Did the jury buy it?
And what happened there?
Well, the jury did hear her out. They considered her arguments, but in the end, they sided with Lone Star.
Meaning?
Meaning they didn't think there was enough proof to back up the fraud and duress claims. They essentially said, looks like you signed that guarantee willingly.
So generally speaking, unless you can really prove you were tricked or forced into signing something, a personal guarantee is probably going to hold up in court.
That's the general idea. They set the bar high for proving fraud or duress on purpose. It's not enough to just say you felt pressured. You need solid evidence, something concrete to convince a jury. Miss Bagnoli just didn't have that, at least not enough to persuade them.
Okay, let's move on to the attorney's fees roller coaster. Lone Star won, they got the money. So why didn't they get their legal costs covered?
This is where we see how a little procedural hiccup can throw a wrench in the whole thing, even when you win. Texas law, specifically Article 22 to 26 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, it's very particular about getting attorney's fees in certain types of cases.
So certain cases are treated differently when it comes to legal fees.
Yeah, and this case fell under what they call sworn accounts, basically, a verified claim for debt. Lone Star had to prove they formally presented their claim to European Import at least 30 days before the judgment was entered.
Okay, presented. What does that mean exactly? Just sending an invoice?
No, it's more than that. Even just filing the lawsuit and serving the defendant, that doesn't count as presentment under this law.
So what does count?
Usually, it means sending a very specific demand letter. It has to state the exact amount owed and clearly say, hey, we want you to pay this.
And this has to be sent 30 days before the judge signs the final judgment.
That's right. And Lone Star, they couldn't prove they'd sent that specific letter within that time frame.
So they won almost $100,000, but they're out the money they spent on lawyers just because they missed this one specific step.
That's the lesson. Winning the case doesn't automatically mean you win on the costs. Miss a procedural rule, even a seemingly small one, and it can come back to haunt you.
Wow. Talk about attention to detail.
Yeah, Texas courts, they tend to interpret those fee recovery statutes very strictly. There's usually no wiggle room, no, well, they knew we wanted the money arguments. You have to follow the rules precisely.
So it's not enough to know the law. You have to know the procedure inside and out.
Absolutely. And there's another procedural lesson here from European Import side this time. They messed up procedurally with their counterclaim under the Texas Liquor Control Act.
Oh, right. They countersued, didn't they? What went wrong there?
They brought up the counterclaim during trial, but for some reason they didn't make sure the judge actually made a clear official ruling on that specific claim, no ruling on the record. And that meant the appeals court later said, well, you didn't get a ruling on that, so you can't appeal it.
So even if your argument is solid, if you don't get the judge to rule on it and have that ruling documented, it's like it never happened.
Exactly. You, as the lawyer, you have to make sure every key issue that you might want to appeal later, that the judge clearly rules on it and it's all in the official record. Yeah. Otherwise, the appeals court might as well say, never happened.
All right, let's bring it all home for our listeners, the future lawyers out there. What are the biggest takeaways from this European Import v. Lone Star story?
Okay, so first, when it comes to contracts, your client's actions speak louder than words. Even without a fancy written contract, accepting those goods, stamping those invoices, all those seemingly little things can create real legal obligations.
So tell your clients to document everything, even if it seems informal.
Absolutely. Like that accepted by stamp, remember. Small detail, big consequences. Second takeaway, never, ever underestimate procedure. Even when you win the case, you can lose out if you don't follow the procedural rules precisely. Like Lone Star and those attorney's fees, it's like having the right ingredients but messing up the recipe, you might end up with something you didn't expect.
You've got to master the process, not just know the law.
Exactly. And finally, the details of evidence, those matter so much. Lone Star, they had those stamped invoices, and they could show that an employee who seemed to have the authority to sign that they were the ones accepting those deliveries. That was key in shutting down European Import's argument that they never ordered anything.
But pay attention to the nitty-gritty, the specifics.
Absolutely. Developing that eye for evidence, that's crucial for any good lawyer.
So let's do a quick recap for everyone. Conduct can create a contract. Signed personal guarantees are usually enforceable unless there's strong evidence of fraud or duress. Strict procedural rules, like those around attorney's fees, those have to be followed to the letter. And always, always make sure you get clear rulings on all your important arguments from the trial court.
Couldn't have put it better myself. This one case, it really highlights some really foundational legal principles.
Yeah, definitely a case worth studying. So To wrap things up, here's something to ponder. How many everyday business interactions, things that happen all the time, could be creating legal obligations without people even realizing it? How will you, as future lawyers, help your clients avoid these potential traps? Think about it. The world of implied agreements and the importance of getting the procedure right, it's a lot bigger than you might think. Thanks for diving deep with us.
Food for thought, indeed.